morning.
Who is it?
Good morning, Shaw. This is Maddie.
Hey, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, thank you.
Good.
And yourself?
Okay, in a second.
When my girlfriends tell me that, I take a deep breath and I exhale.
That'd be good for me right now, too. Anybody else on with us?
I think so. I heard a couple of peeps.
Okay. Good morning, guys. Who's on?
So why they're not talking? Let me ask you something. I found an old cookbook from 1981. I thought it was Shackley's for a minute. And then it had vegetarian burgers.
Uh-huh.
And then it says one or two eggs. That's the only thing in there that is not on our diet. And I was wondering, what do you use anything for? Maybe I don't even need it.
Yeah, that's real easy. Egg replacer. Let's see. I don't think I start for it. That ain't better.
Yes.
That ain't better.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can use it. I've got two. So far, I've found two egg replacers. I haven't tried the second one yet, so I don't know how well it works. The first one is great in something like that. You can also use arrowroot, A-R-R, just arrow, A-R-R-O-W, root,
mm-hmm.
as an egg replacer.
Okay.
That's a real common one. You get it at the health food store. And usually you can just get it in the bulk or just a really small package of it. But just your larger health food stores, well, probably any of them, are going to have what they just call egg replacer.
Okay.
And it's all vegetarian. You know, it's just from kind of like cornstarch or something like that is a thickener. But they have a better binding.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually a combination of those products of arrowroot and other things. So,
okay.
That's an easy one. Really.
One other question.
It's not going to taste like scrambled eggs or anything like that. Don't try and mix it up for that type of thing.
No, it's like for a vegetarian burger.
Right, right. Anything like that is going to work. Like, I think I could even use it in that.
Yeah, these guys do burgers. The rice fine really well. So I'll send Shaw that recipe that I did modify the other day.
Oh, okay. That would be great. And I've seen another
one. And it binds superbly. It just be an old different nuts and stuff, but it's fine really, really well. So I had it written down, but I have to type it and I'll forward to you, then you can filter that down.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you just give me a list of ingredients, I can go from there, too.
Okay, yes.
And if there's any critical steps in putting it together, but usually with those, there's not, so.
Yeah. I just thought it, and I kind of did what I did, so I'll just sort of, like, let you know, and then you can recreate that. But, yeah, I'm using almond and all different nuts and stuff and lentils, and then it's very actually, it's a meal on its own, if you want to do it also, too, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Thank you. I'm sorry,
one other thing. The milk, like the rice milk and things like that, does it come in a powder form or is it just a liquid?
So far I've only done it in the liquid, and right now I'm doing my own after, thanks to Wei. She got me started doing soy and rice together, and I love the taste of it.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's very easy. You can go in, we can talk about that a little bit later.
Okay,
so.
Sure.
Who else do we have on the call?
Monty's here.
Monty.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Dottie from Massachusetts.
Dottie, good morning.
I'm Mary Jane from Oregon.
Good morning, Mary Jane.
Hi, Char.
Lila from Lacey.
Pardon?
Lila from Lacey.
Lila, good morning. I'm sorry. Anyone else?
Paulette from Minnesota.
Good morning, Paulette.
Hi.
Last call. Okay, somebody asked me how I was doing. I'll admit, I'm having, I'm sure, a reaction to MSG, so my head is absolutely buzzing. So my concentration isn't real good this morning, guys. So anybody that wants to jump in, Monty, anybody else? Have at it. I know what it came from. We went out for Chinese food late last night, and I was home 20 minutes, and it started in. I've done everything under the sun that I know to do to my body to get rid of it, so I'm dealing with it until I can flood it out. Okay, any questions?
Sure.
Okay. Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that anyone who still has Good Morning America on TV this hour, at 20 of this hour, they have a segment on vegetarianism. They didn't say vegan, they said vegetarian, and I think they said 8 million people are now, and it's increasing, especially teenage girls, and they, of course, are concerned about the protein, interestingly, and all they talked about was soy protein. The adjustment. It was an interesting little segment.
Okay. Good Morning America. It was 20 before the hour.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you still have it on this hour, then it's at whatever 40.
Okay.
It's on.
Okay. I'll check that. Yes.
Yeah. I'd like to just throw something out. Two things. I was looking through for recipes because I'm having, a little difficult time trying to get away from a lot of the proteins and everything that I'm normally used to eating. And I went to, have you ever heard of the site vegan, V-E-G-A-N, cooking.com?
I don't know whether I ran across that one or not.
Yeah,
I don't
but
recall.
I printed out a tofu and spinach mixture that was a lasagna. Is lasagna, and I also printed out a carrot. Where is it? Carrot and chickpea soup, and they both look really easy. I'm trying to find something that's easier. I know some of the recipes are, they usually entail a lot of time, and usually I like things that are very quick and easy to do. And on this site, they have like 20 minutes to dinner, and they have soups and salads, and there's a lot of list of foods in here. There's an eggless egg salad, which I think maybe you might have heard of before.
Yeah, that sounds okay. I think I saw that site, so it's vegancooking.com.
Vegancooking.com, yeah.
Okay.
Great tasting recipes, free from animal products. And it looks pretty good.
Okay.
Go ahead. Yeah, they even talked about, they were talking about margarines contain animal products such as whey, milk ingredients, and animal fats. And, they said to keep that in mind when you're looking for things. But I think they said something about a tofu or soy margarine. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes, I've got some of that. I've got it. I've used it once, I think. I just watch the number of ingredients on that stuff because that indicates how much it's processed. Unless it's just herbs that are put together in a spice or something like that. But normally the more ingredients, the more processing these ingredients have gone through. And so that's the only thing that I look at. And I can't remember whether that was one of them. I think it was. It was. They were calling it a soy margarine, I think, or something. I'm not sure.
And my other question is, I have my youngest daughter has had severe migraine headaches since she's been 13 years old. And, some of the products that we use and everything were helping a little bit, but medication seemed like the only thing that was getting rid of them. Now she's going to an acupuncturist that is helping, but she still is getting them. And she's pregnant. So I was just wondering, I just thought I'd throw it out to anybody, if, what foods should she, I know she knows the foods. She's very healthy. She's, works out and does all the right stuff, drinks tons of water. And, I know she diet-wise, she's really good. But, with the plant-based diet, I was just wondering, because I looked through the China study, and they didn't say anything about migraine headaches or headaches or anything.
That'll come a lot from chemicals in the food. And I know what mine is from. Mine's from MSG. I can plug it every single time. And even when they say there's no MSG, it's already in the stuff that they're using, and it isn't on the label, so I can't fault them. It's just that I know that when I get Chinese food, I run the risk of getting it. And it was probably in the sauce that they used on the tofu that I had last night, to be honest with you, because that was the one thing that I had that was different that I've never had at that restaurant. I've never had a problem. So,
I also suffer from migraine quite a bit. But something, this is out of the thing here, has to do with chronic reversibility. And if you can switch her,
yes,
and then remove totally all processed food and have all natural, I swear to you, 1 week, she has no migraine. But first of all, just switch the polarity is off, and then that causes a lot of stuff. The easiest way, put your left hand over your right, just on the shoulder, 5 minutes, and, if you can't do that, I can help you with that, but in 1 week, you should clear all that up, and I have two through my kids, I think I have fun. We do that, everything from whole food. She should not address any of those at all. And then, of course, you know, we can kinesiology certain food as well that she might have some sort of non-responsive to that causes the, mainly if you remove total sugar out of your system, that would be the thing. The first thing you see a lot is you remove total sugar out of her system, and she will see it immediately.
Well, Wei, thank you. The sugar isn't my problem, and what was the other one you said? I forgot already. But
all
anyway,
processed food. All processed food.
Yeah. Well, there was obviously something in the dinner last night, but the other one is chocolate. I haven't had any chocolate. I don't know how long.
I know.
Anyway,
my daughter doesn't eat any of that. That's the whole thing. Yeah.
It's right out.
But I know that obviously my energy can't be right if I'm if I'm dealing with this, that's for sure. So I didn't think about
that. I'll balance you out.
Thank you.
One of the other things, too, that we have to remember about people that have migraine headaches, and Charlotte sounds like you're definitely one of those, is that we all have different sensitivities to, I'll just use MSG as an example. Some of us can tolerate it, some of us can't, and then others are just get a little bit in their body, and they really react to it, and particularly when you deal with processed foods. I don't have it here right in front of me on my screen, but there is a chart that basically pretty well much talks about what really is MSG and what to basically look for, and some of the things in there would probably surprise you that Char made the comment that they might not have MSG in them, but through the processing or the processing of it, MSG basically occurs. They discovered MSG, matter of fact, way back in the, I think it was the late 1800s or maybe it was the 1900s, and basically they found it in seaweed. So basically it pretty much depends upon how you are or that person is based upon sensitivity. Even though they think they might be eating real good or doing whatever, they might be very, very high sensitivity to MSG, so just a small amount could be the triggering factor. Where in most cases, a lot of us wouldn't even be affected by it.
You know, thank you, Mondi. The other thing that I know that I know for a fact is when you clean up your diet, your food intake, and it becomes closer to what it should be, anything that you take in that is a toxin, and that is considered toxic to the body, affects you in a smaller amount more dramatically. Your body just knows that it's not used to having it. It's been clean or much better. And I'm not saying I'm a purist by any means, but it's a lot different than it was a year ago.
One of the monks gave an example was when your body is so clean, like a white sheet of paper, when you dab a little ink on it, which is a toxin, they'll notice a big difference. But when somebody's body is so toxic and you can add a little more, then they don't notice the difference. So you can kind of you've been eating totally well, and then when you have something that's foreign to your body, consider foreign, not good for your body, then you suffer so much more. But, you get out of it so much quicker as well, so...
That's a good analogy. A white sheet of paper versus something that's already written all over. You're not going to see the dot of ink, but you sure would on a clean one. That's a good analogy, Way. Thanks.
Or even on a white blouse. I just wanted to comment that a couple of years ago, one of the news programs did a whole thing on, well, not a whole thing, a segment on MSG, and they brought up that various Chinese restaurants get their supplies, and unless there's X percent, and we've learned this from reading
labels
of MSG, you don't even have, they don't even know that they're getting it in what they're buying.
That's correct. That's why I said I can't fault the restaurant because I've asked. I know that they don't put added MSG in. So.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, about migraine headaches is some people also can get migraine headaches and don't understand, and that's from being allergic to a particular type of food. So it's just something to think about.
But guys, questions?
This is Onita. I was just going to make a comment. I was watching ABC this morning, and they had a segment on teenagers becoming vegetarian. And the dietitian, of course, was saying how hard it was to get your protein. So,
you know, that's the fallacy or the myth that we're all led to believe, and I don't believe that to be true when you look at the charts that are available.
Looking at meat versus soy protein and that type of thing, she wasn't pulling in all the protein out of your other veggies, so.
Right. Right, and they are still going on the exorbitant amount that they recommend in this country because who's behind all of the, who's written the guidelines for what amount of protein we need in the first place. So.
Yeah, she was actually saying 10 to 20%, which is, you know.
Lower than some
That's
of them.
More than what some of the others say, so.
I think she said 15 grams. Teenagers need 15 grams per meal, didn't you, Onita?
I don't remember.
Okay.
All right, this is Lylan. I have a comment. A good comment. I had to go to the doctor last week, and so I was telling him about this and that I wanted, and was, you know, concerned about cholesterol and some of the other things. And so they took my cholesterol, and it's down to 169, and it'd been, like, in the high 180s.
Okay. How long have you been doing it now?
Well, you mean been eating this way?
Right.
Just since we got home from the cruise.
I just wanted everybody to hear that. Because that's
well,
short period of time to have it drop even that much.
Well, that was from April.
From
April, uh-huh. That was the last time I'd done it, and so they just did it in the office when I was there last week.
Is that a fasting cholesterol or just a finger prick?
No, just a finger prick.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we've been having avocados, you know, and on our baked potatoes and nuts and all these things that, you know, have made me a little nervous, but anyway.
Well, that's good. That's very good. And I'm sure you're going to see it go even lower. So.
Yeah, Mike's never had that problem before. He's never had a cholesterol problem, so he's going to wait for another couple of weeks to go in and have his done.
And watch what you do the day before carefully, because the difference of that evening meal before can make a big difference in your blood count.
Yeah, I remember what Ruth said that her financial planner told her and the dentist that prior to going into the doctor, if you'd eat the way that the China study says to eat, that in a 2-week time frame, amazing things can happen. So we know it can happen in a short time frame, particularly when people that are in financial planning, understanding that when you sell insurance to people that. There is quite a secret to that, to getting people through in case they have cholesterol levels that are high.
Thank you. And
I was reading, I know I already mentioned this, but some of you may not have heard it, reading in McDougall's book how giving examples of patients that he had worked with. And the gal had gone in for her test, but the night before she'd gone out to dinner and had some things that, you know, she didn't even know were in the products probably when they started looking at what she had eaten. Her numbers were not nearly as good as they could have been. So all these things can affect it. We just don't understand that it can be so simple, you know, and I'll say simple because we all need ideas, but we've got lots of sources on the Internet. There is also, McDougall's got a book that's, I think it's under 15 minutes recipes, 300 of them in there. Let's see, what's the title of it? It is the McDougall Quick and Easy Cookbook. Over 300 delicious low-fat recipes you can prepare in 15 minutes or less. And it is the truth. And there, I guess that wasn't the particular one I got the egg salad one out of, but just all kinds of combinations. And it's not a new print. It's an older print. But there's few ingredients. I actually add to it because I like more spices or flavorings. I like more herbs in it than some of the ones he's done. But they're fine the way they are, too. So it just depends on the person's taste. So
that's one of the things I, when I first started this, I liked about McDougall books was it says, first of all, it says a serving, and it says preparation time and then cooking time. And that's what kind of, and me being the kind of person, not a cook, I love those little short recipes.
It's very simple. That other one that was in the pack of books, Students Go Vegan.
Vegan,
That one has a lot of short ones in it also. And so, you know, it's as simple as you want to make it, or it's as complicated. I think it's so much simpler than what we were doing before because all the time was spent in the prep time of the entree, which was around your protein, meat of some sort. And so you've cut out all that time. Plus, I do exactly what Ruth does. I always have some kind of rice, brown rice, mixed grain brown rice, in the refrigerator. I always have some extra beans. Right now I've got white beans, white, small navy beans in there. And I've got two different kinds of rice, just plain brown rice and then some seasoned brown, or some mixed grain brown rice.
How long does that keep in the refrigerator?
Oh, without meat base in it or chicken stock, days, several days. I mean, probably an easy week. You know, it depends on your refrigerator. Mine's packed so full right now that it's freezing at the back because I've got so much in there, but it makes it real easy just to pull and combine things. And then we're doing a lot more in the raw state, too, just especially during the summer. That one sauce that goes over your vegetables that you just leave set at room temperature for 3 or 4 hours, and then put it in the refrigerator overnight. I mean, my goodness, it's incredible. Now I cut down on the amount of oil that's in it because it does. It's in the Perfect Health, the natural way.
Which one? Which recipe is that?
Okay, let me see if I can. Right here, and I've got a tab on it.
Oh, Nina, I kept the beans in the refrigerator for a couple weeks, and they were fine.
Yeah, well, I've got beans in there too, but I wondered about the rice. It seems smell okay, but I wondered.
Yeah, well, you'll taste it. I mean, all you have to do is put a few, you know, half a teaspoon in your mouth, and if it's bad, you'll know.
Okay.
And then I spit.
Yeah.
So, just a second here, I've got it.
But what book is it that you're looking at, Char?
Perfect Health, the Natural Way.
Okay.
I mean, you would go anywhere. You would have anybody over and serve that to them. I mean,
are you talking about the one that goes over pasta?
Yeah, that goes over the pasta. I haven't done the one at the bottom of the page, 247. Have you done that one, Nancy?
No, just the other one, and I've kind of ad-libbed a little bit on it even. You know, you can do that.
And I love the capers in it. Yeah, they're a small ingredient. Maybe it's not going to be in your kitchen, but, you know, it's worth the effort to try some new things. And the rest of the stuff, there's, you know, nothing there that's unusual.
I'll have to use the green olives. My husband doesn't like black ones. So.
Oh, yeah, you can use whatever. I used some Greek olives in it.
Yeah, I used all three, but I need to buy some more olives because I'm out. I keep making that. It's so good.
I've got a question for Char, too. I know you've used the, you said one time you used the big zucchini after they were more mature. Can you just substitute those for winter squash?
Oh, I do. Well, it does have the same flavor as winter squash. It's usually a sweeter squash, but what I do is I take the seeds out of the center and I use just the outside rim, like 1 inch thick, and I just did that the other day in a bean salad that was, I diced it. I've got one of those gadgets off of TV, the Nicer Dicer. Not the look-alike ones, but the original Nicer Dicer. That thing will put out 3 cups of diced either quarter-inch or half-inch cubes, whichever size you want. It's got 2 different plates in it. And it'll put out three or four cups in, I'm going to say, 3 or 4 minutes, diced evenly. And all you have to do is you know, cut it in the size pieces that fit in there, and you slap it. So if you ever see it advertised on TV, it's exactly the way they do it on television. It's that easy.
I pulled a recipe out of our paper last night for skillet potatoes and squash, which sounded good. Called for new potatoes and winter squash, so I thought maybe I could maybe try substituting since I've got extra big zucchini, so.
It'll work, and if the peel is too heavy, you can always peel it also. But usually, I just use that for roughage because I figure cutting it small, it's tender enough when you steam it. So I just steamed it, and we've got that left over in there also. And of course, many of those things taste so much better after they've set in there with the herbs in them and marinated longer. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, I can't imagine going back to the way we cooked before. I'm just still emptying my refrigerator out. I found some families that are needy, or freezer out, I should say. I found families that are needy, and they come by and pick up whenever they need. And I've got a space where I just set it, and they go in and get it. So that's my way of helping out in another area. So, you know, guys, and my kitchen gadgets I get and the books I get are the offset of what I would be spending on the grocery bill now that I'm set up with all my grains and, you know, I should say all my grains, but my basic ones anyway. Probably to most of you it would be overkill, but I like variety and I like experimenting and I want to have it when I can do it. So I just keep cranking them out, and very seldom do I come up with something that, isn't a hit. If it isn't, it's just because I need to add a few more things to it, so I will add some other seasonings or herbs or remake it the next day, and I found out a secret that a lot of the chefs do exactly the same thing. They will remake something that they've used before, you know, what's left of it, and turn it into a different dish just by adding to it and mixing it or putting it together with another dish, as we so easily can do with the base of rice and different grains. So, guys, just have at it and do a little bit of experimenting with things that you haven't done before, because I think you're going to find some tastes that are really, really going to be pleasing to you. And then there's other days that I do just shortcut things where I'll start with something that, canned beans or canned tomatoes or whatever, and I need to cut the time out.
Char, that recipe's on page 247, and I have been making it now without the olive oil because the tomatoes are juicy anyway. In fact, I had a whole batch of it in the refrigerator, and Marty brought in some more really ripe tomatoes, and I cut extra ones in there, and it was fine. You really don't need the oil.
You're right. That's exactly. I've cut it way down. I think I've got a couple tablespoons in there at most. But there's no reason that you have to have it. Just people that are cutting out the oil. So, but the blend of flavors, and if you have access to a farmer's market where you can even get your fresh herbs, it's unbelievable, you guys. When you make the switch to some of those things, and the garden tomatoes that are available now through the farmer's markets. They're blood red on the inside, right, Nancy, compared to those pale pink things you get at the store most of the year?
This is awful. made a comment when Marty asked him if he wanted some tomatoes. He said, you know, Dad, he said, we've been buying, quote, homegrown tomatoes at the grocery store. They don't come anywhere near yours.
Amen. It's huge. So you guys find a farmer's market. I might have to go to a city council meeting because I heard there's an uproar because there's something to do with the farmer's market. Maybe they're going to limit them or something in this area. And I thought, how crazy. Give me a break. You know, who's behind this? Grocery stores and the non-healthy producers of veggies, etc. So,
well, it's too bad you don't live here, Char, because I just heard the other day that if you go down into Amish country, they have an auction Tuesday and Thursdays on produce, and you buy like 50 pounds of things at a time. I said, what would I do with all that? I need Char to share it with me.
You know, one of the other things, too, you know, if you like, I think you're bringing this up a little bit, Char, as I read an article that had to do with about farming substances, how the government gives money to farmers and do whatever. And the question was, that was asked was, well, how come they don't give subsistence to organic farmers? And, of course, you recognize this name, and Jeff Novick came back and said, well, you know, we can do that ourselves. He said, based upon where we go out and we buy our products that we utilize, our vegetables, our fruits, or whatever, and that is to find somebody within your area that has an organic farm or raises organic type stuff, and that's how you give these people that are trying to create these farms and do whatever, that's how you can give them money, and that's by supporting them in their ventures and such things as farmers market and doing whatever, and I totally believe that.
I agree 100%. I want to... Any last-minute questions or comments, because I'm going to make this brief this morning.
Char, this is Mary Lou. I just wanted to tell you that Monty had sent me that information about the MSG, so I just sent it on to you.
Oh, thank you very much. I know I had something from way back when that documented it. But anyway, I want to put thanks, you guys, for being considerate this morning. I appreciate that and the conversation about that. I want to read out of another book, yet another book, Don Colbert, M.D., The Seven Pillars of Health. And I try and read a little bit in that each day, miss some days, but anyway, I like what he's doing there. He's not 100%, he's not vegan, okay? I'll use that word. He's not a total plant-based diet person, let's put it that way, because I don't like the word I said before. But anyway, boy, I've got a huge echo going this morning. I don't know what's with the line. For our cookware, what we've got to work with, and I want to just read a little bit of it here. In a major test, boiling led to 66% loss of flavonoids compared to fresh raw broccoli. Pressure cooking led to a 47% reduction of one of the major antioxidants. The majority was found in the cooking water. So whenever you use anything that's left in any water that's left in there, use it in your soup broth. But realize that we are retaining 62% of our most important nutrients by cooking in the cookware. So guys, we've got it made in another category. Okay, here's one that brings up the controversy again about the microwave. But in the same test, microwave broccoli lost an incredible 97%, 74%, and 87% respectively of the three major cancer-causing antioxidant compounds, flavonoids, Cinepix, and the last one, I don't know what it is. Anyway, so they're saying the three most important ones to us eliminating cancer as far as antioxidants were lost when it was done in the microwave. So, when we can get the fresh, I know we have to take a few minutes to wash, and I know we have to take a few minutes to cut, but what we're doing for our body is unbelievably different than starting out otherwise, especially when we've got the time of year going that we've got. So feed it as well. Maybe that's why everybody's so much healthier in the summertime than they are in the wintertime. I was also thinking about those wild blackberries and their high antioxidant
level, the highest berry so far they've found that are growing wild out there as far as antioxidants. Now, I don't know whether they're counting in this country and not looking at, you know, some of these specialty berries that are put in the juices or not. Okay, another one is avoid charring, and it says of meat. Now, we could go for the veggies, too, on that, because charred contains a chemical called benzoprene, if I pronounced it right, which is highly carcinogenic substance. Scrape it off. Don't even give it to your dog. Okay, among other things, EPA said that DuPont withheld tests indicating that chemicals had been found in at least one pregnant worker in Washington Works plant had been passed on to the fetus, and they're talking about different pesticides and chemicals that are in the foods that are out there. You should also avoid cooking with aluminum, which has been linked to Alzheimer's disease. This includes pot pans, pizza pans, cookie sheets, rice cookers, and even coffee makers that have aluminum liners. And that's another one. And thank you, Mary Jane, for your comment on using parchment, because my sheets that I have not found stainless steel replacements for all of them yet, I can use parchment on it, which I already have. So cooking parchment is not expensive, especially if you find a larger bulk supplier like what we've got in Oregon, Cash and Carry. I can't remember the other subsidiary. They're a subsidiary of a much larger, Smart and Final, I think, is what they told me, in other parts of the country. And here's another tip, how to eat. Rushing through the meal causes hydrochloric acid to be suppressed in the digestive system, making it difficult to digest your food. It also encourages you to eat more than you should. It takes about 20 minutes for your hypothalamus, which is located in your brain, to get the full message that you are full and satisfied. Don't drink cold drinks with your food. It dampens and dilutes hydrochloric acid, digestive juices, and the enzymes. It's similar to starting a campfire and then pouring water on it. So since the kids have been little, I remember Nick was the hardest one because he got a hold of it and he was stubborn. He wanted to have something cold to drink with his meal, but I serve no drinks at our table while we're eating just for that reason. I have not for years and years and years. At least 30 plus years. I forget when we have company and they ask for water, and that's the exception because, you know, I have to be gracious and serve them what they want. But normally we have no liquids on our table while we're eating, so we're not washing it down. So, guys, comments, questions?
Just a comment, Char, in regards to the aluminum pans, also that a lot of times people will take and put aluminum foil on the top of whatever when they're baking it in the oven, and by utilizing the parchment paper, putting the parchment paper over the food, covering the food, crimping it on the sides and do whatever, and then putting the aluminum foil, if people can't get away from aluminum foil, that is one way, again, of still getting that situation taken care of.
Good idea, and I had not thought of that one. Excellent idea, putting it over the top of the parchment. That's excellent. Thank you. Thank you very much. All these tips, you know, none of these things are difficult to do, guys. It's all between our ears. If we perceive it as difficult, it's going to be difficult for us. If we perceive it as, hey, this is something healthy to do, why would I not take the extra minute or two to do it? It goes into your day, but look at the quality of your life. What's that worth at the end if we have the opportunity to improve the odds? I'm not going to say we can eradicate everything we've done or there's not going to be the exception. I'm just saying the percentages are there. The tests are in. It is what it is. The facts are the facts. And the people that are screaming on the other end realize why you're hearing it, because it's probably affecting their pocketbook.
Char, I've got a question.
Yes.
On the water at meals, do you drink after a meal then or before a meal? Or
Yeah, it's supposed to be, let's see, no less than 30 minutes before or an hour after. No, drink your bulk of liquids at least 30 minutes before or an hour after. That's usually the common time frame that they're talking about to really, you know, mess up the or dilute the digestive process.
I never drink with meals, but my husband always has a big glass of cold tea or something, so I'm going to have to switch him over.
Yeah, and guys, don't use lemon in your tea. Do not use lemon in your tea. I can't quote the article from the Blaylock studies, the doctor that reports on there. I can get a copy of it. It's not on the internet because it came printed, but there is a chemical in the reaction between the lemon and tea, hot tea or iced tea. So there was a strong statement made about that. Again, there was enough research to catch my attention. And white tea, if you want the very highest one now on the list, is white tea. Very mild. You can watch for some great deals. If you've got a Big Lots near you, they have, I know it's imported, but a lot of the tea is imported, guys. Big Lots has white tea. They've had it there for several weeks in boxes, at least the ones that I've been in. And I've been drinking a fair amount of that. Again, you know, everything in moderation, spread it out, but we've only got so many things we can put into our body, so let's make them count.
Char?
Yes?
I heard a gerontologist recently on TV say that genetics, after the age of 40, plays a much less impact on how we are physically, and it kind of diminishes as we get older.
I can imagine that to be true. It would be, to me, now that you say it, I never thought about it, would be very much a common sense type thing.
Lifestyle is the most important thing as you get older.
Pardon?
Lifestyle as you get older is the most important.
It's the most important, yes.
Yeah.
That would make total common sense to me. And if you go back to, again, the China study, when Colin Campbell was looking at genetics, he says 2 to 3% is your genetic factor, if you're even dealing with anything that's genetic, that is a is an issue in health. And he said that can still be redirected by what you're doing to your body.
Well, people who have no genetic challenges think I can do anything I want. I'll live to 90. My parents both did, and you know, I can do whatever I want as far as lifestyle. And guess what? I don't know that they're really correct.
I know a person that said that to me, and his wife did not want him spending any money on any of our products, so he did not have any of them. And we met several times, and he was a physical ed instructor. He looked to be in good physical condition, maybe had an extra 5 or 10 pounds at the very most. And shortly after we had quit meeting, I had had probably 4 or 5, maybe a half dozen appointments with him. And Denny knew him well also. And so anyway, it was all, you know, it was all the way around. We were both working to accomplish the same thing because he was so eager on fitness, and we just thought he was a natural. Well, within 6 months of having done those appointments with him, he had a mass. His dad, by the way, lived to 96. He was still alive. 96. I don't know how far beyond that. He was maybe 60. Maybe 60, maybe not even reach 60. He had a major stroke and was institutionalized, and I don't know whether he's still alive or not. And, you know, no indication at all, and, you know, owned his own business, but had a had employees that he could rely on. I can't even pull the word. Anyway, I told you I was distracted here this morning, but so genetics don't always work in your favor when people think they're going to, either, is what I've seen happen in the past. So, last-minute comments, guys. I'm going to wind up here. We're way past. Okay, have a absolutely wonderful day, and I'm going to make mine better by what I do for the next couple of hours to make this thing turn around. So anyway, go for it. Mary Lou's on tomorrow. Thank you all for your support and for your comments and for your interaction all the way around. So
thanks.
Sign off and say goodbye.
Put some magnets on your head.
Thank you.
Thanks,
I got them there.
Thanks, Char.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, Monty, are you going to stay on? Monty, are you going to stay on?
I can if you have any questions.
I don't know. I just sometimes people have questions. I didn't know if anybody wanted to raise any or not. I tell you, there's a couple of dynamite shows. They come on at 11:30 Central Time. The first one's by a fellow by the name of Doug Kaufman, and he was a nutritionist with a doctor. And boy, does he dissect Western medicine. And then at 12 noon Central Time, for an hour, there's a fellow by the name of Dr. Becker, and whatever Doug Kaufman doesn't get done, Dr. Becker does. And between the two of them, a lot of times they analyze the minerals and things that are missing for various diseases in the body. And it's just fascinating stuff. I mean, they did a thing on magnesium, or one of them did on magnesium. I think it was Becker. And it got into everything from regulating blood sugar to pancreas to has an effect on the eyes to the blood, the clotting ability of the blood to just a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, it was just like a whole hour show on nothing but what magnesium does for the body. That's on the channel. If you have do you have DirecTV?
No.
Okay. Well, it's on WHT, which is out of South Bend, Indiana. I think both of these programs originate in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, but man, they're fascinating. And they go through stuff, and they know doctors around the country that have actually come up with the and have published and have spoken and have clinics on things that actually relate to healing diseases with natural methods, and have them on as a guest pro. Becker has an hour. He's from 12 to 1 Central Time. He has time to have them on. And Doug Kaufman does too sometimes. But, I think maybe Doug does more actually now that I think about it. But they're fascinating shows. WHT, World Harvest Television, is actually a Christian network.
Mm-hmm.
But they are just fascinating.
One of the books I really enjoyed reading, and about the medical field, that's Who Moved My Magnet is the name of it, and it has nothing to do with, well, it does a little bit have nothing to do with, something to do with magnetic fields, but it basically goes over the medical, I'll call it industry, on how it actually came about, how we have the physicians that we have today. It goes way back in early times and everything else, and kind of progressives, how the medical field got to have the power that it does today, not only in legislative issues and whatever, but also each and every one of us, and how we get a headache or we get a backache or whatever, and the first thing we want to do is run to a doctor of some sort. And I really love that procession of how we got to be that way in the world, and that was a real eye opener for me in regards to the medical field, and then realizing, like Char has talked about even today, about, you know, if it's some sort of research that benefits an individual's way or a company's way of thinking or a product, that's the one they always talk about. But, you know, you mentioned the research. There's an awful lot of research out there that has been done over the years. This new way of eating isn't something that's new. The research has already been done about cancers and genes and everything else. It was discovered way back when, and it always gets me how Lance Armstrong had another gentleman on TV here. I just happened to run into a program last night, and it was about cancer and how much money we need to raise to take care of cancer and do whatever. And I sat right there to myself, and I thought, all they got to do is not raise the money, just take that money and change their way of eating and go out and buy the proper foods, have the proper supplements, and do whatever, and totally can change the cancer structure of the entire world. But yet everybody's looking for that magic pill, that magic one thing they can do to stop a disease or do whatever. And like Nancy said today, is that as far as the genes and everything else go, you know, it's to the point to where, you know, if we just eat the right foods and do the right things and have a healthy lifestyle and utilize Neekin products, we're amazingly so far ahead of the game on a health basis.
Yeah, it's just.
Well, I got to run. I got another conference call here at 8 o'clock, and so I got to run. Get ready for that and everything else, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Okay, sure.
Thanks, Fritz.